Hello and welcome to another weekly teaching from Vineyard Community Church, St. Louis.
All right, if you don't know about Colossians series one, go to vcclife.org/Colossians. It'll give you all the information on how to do a little extra fun manuscript study, and there's a downloadable document there. So it's never too late to start that. We're in this place of Book of Colossians. We started out by talking about the gospel, and Paul starts us out there and how that it changes everything, where what Christ has done. Then it goes into the place of who Christ is and that he's worthy of everything. He created all things. And it talks about the divinity of Christ, and we talked about being rooted in Christ, that we're designed in a place that we're not just planted, we're rooted into Christ. That's our source of life. And then we talked last week about this place that when we come to Christ, we actually have a brand new identity that changes everything. And today, we're going to get really practical. We talked about this thing of being in Christ, and we're going to say, how does that work? How do you actually live in Christ? How do you live in this new nature you've been given through Christ? And so, as we talk about this place, how do we live in your new identity? As I've said before, your identity, now listen to this, your identity will determine how you see and how you live. Let me say it again. Your identity will determine how you see and how you live. Us humans, I don't know if you've noticed this about humans, we want to be good. You always hear somebody right after they've been accused of a terrible crime, I'm a good person. I mean, everybody wants to be good, right? And so we're all displaced that we want to be good. And we want to be valued, and we want to have worth, and we want to be loved, right? Those are just parts of us that were designed that way. And so what I find is, what's clear, though, when you start getting honest, is, oops, we're not all the way good. If you think about your heart, and you think about those things, there's some things within you, and you're this thing called the old nature, the sinful nature, that's not very righteous, are very good, and there's some things that are, for me, it's really easy to start reverting back to that old nature of being harsh, of lusting, of dishonoring other people, of being unforgiving, having pride, being self-centered. I'm telling you, that comes easy. I just drift that direction, right? That's my old nature. And even the things about the things that you don't say or do, right? I've always thought, imagine all of you hooked up to a machine which read your heart and broadcast it on Highway 64, right? Everything that you thought and went through your heart and you dwelled on, and those thoughts all get pushed, not a good day, right? And so as we look at this, is what Paul talks about in this, and he speaks to the Romans about this as well, in the Roman church, he says, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but I do the evil I do not want. Is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." Does that feel familiar when you get to certain places in your life, right? It's kind of encouraging that Paul says that. It's true for all of us. And this is tied directly to places of identity, what Paul is talking about here. Because what I found is that you and I, because of this need to have righteousness, to be justified, to be valuable, pay attention. Like, here's what happened to me. 2020, right at the beginning of all this craziness, I had this thought that came to my mind, and I thought, I think that's God. I'm just going to go with it. I'm not sure if it was or not, but I thought, go through one day without raising yourself up or lowering another person. I did not make it, right? I did it really sophisticatedly, but I'm always, I started watching how much energy I spend justifying I'm okay. And how do we do that? We do it to the spot because we know we need to be okay. And so we want to be good. And so we find ourselves in places of often lowering the standard and judging ourselves against others, or getting to places that we say, well, didn't kill anybody. You know, that's our standard. Like, you know, we just start adjusting things because we don't want to live in this place of condemnation. And so we have to understand the solution is not solved by self-righteousness and justifying yourself, even though that's what our flesh wants to do. The solution is only solved by Christ's righteousness, by giving us a different identity, being in Christ, an identity that we did not earn, but we truly have and has been given to us, and living in that. In Christ, there is no condemnation, and not because we've made ourselves good, because we have been made righteous and we have been justified through what Christ has done. So that's what we talked about last week, is this place of you've been circumcised in spiritually. You've had the flesh cut away, and now you can live according to the Spirit. It goes on to say that you've died to your old self, and you actually rose again with Jesus, just as you were baptized. And then it goes on to this place, what we'll talk about in just a little bit here, in Colossians 3, it says, now listen to this, pay attention to this, you have been raised with Christ, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Take that one in. That's where you are in Christ. That's why there's no condemnation. Because you are raised with Christ. You are His beloved. You are righteous in His sight. Now, for me, you know, I found myself in places that, you know, this is the first verse, actually the 17, it was the first verse, one of the first verses I ever memorized. It says, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard Him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. Do you understand what that's saying? It's saying we don't regard one another according to the flesh anymore, and you shouldn't regard yourself according to the flesh anymore because of what Christ has done. And I remember as I would read these kind of statements in Colossians and Romans, I would find myself kind of saying, what's going on here? That sounds crazy. And I remember, you know, the place in which that, what it was is I was still seeing my eyes through the eyes of my flesh. I'm saying, don't do that. See your eyes through what Christ has done. See yourself through that. Now, today what we're going to talk about is how do we do that? How do we live this out in this new identity? And what that looks like. I'm going to ask Bobby to come up, and I'm going to have him read the text, just because he's better at reading things than I am. And we're going to go through this. And you might, through this one, you might actually want to bring it up on your phone, because I won't be pulling back all the text if you want to follow along, or if you have a book. Go ahead, Bobby.
Yes, this works. Is this wasn't his fault? I thought your fault, Bobby. I wanted to blame him. All right. We good? All right. We're reading from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after its image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Yeah. I know what you're really clapping for. I'm so glad David didn't read that. All right. You know, I remember when I first prayed to receive Jesus, and I don't know if you guys, maybe those who've received Jesus, remember what that may have felt like the next morning, like after you had a little bit of time. Like, I woke up and I thought, I still look the same. You know, I could feel love of God more. I could feel more peace, and I had some hope, but it was all pretty blurry. And you know, I wasn't glowing. And I still had lots of struggles and a lot of stuff in me that I didn't know what to do with. And so I remember when I used to read this, I was always a little bit not having pockets for what to do with these kind of words about that everything's become new. And as I explained it, as I thought about it, I just started understanding this understanding that in Scripture what we see is this place that God doesn't just, when you come to Christ, he doesn't just wave a wand and you're holy, but who you are has changed at your core. And then you learn to grow into that identity. You know, this is where God's this relational God. He doesn't control us, but he allows us. We're a child who's able, he wants to have trust built. He wants to have responding back and forth. And as we think about just the scenarios of how it describes it, we're a sheep who's trying to figure out how to hear the shepherd and follow the shepherd. We're the child who is being raised into the identity that we're made to be. You know, we're the branch who is now reconnected, right, and joined to Jesus. And as we yield to him, this new thing comes out of us and fruit takes place out of our life. And so this is this process we talk about. And so the question becomes, is this what Paul's going to talk about now? He's saying, this is who you are. This is who you are. This is what's happened. Here's your identity. Don't see yourself according to the flesh. See yourself according to this. And then he goes on to say these things. He talks about, how do you do it? Okay? So this is going to get real practical. I looked at the text and I have five things I think will be really helpful in how do you live out your true identity. And the first I would say is this, is trust who God says you are and not what your flesh tells you. You know, many times, that's the baseline. That's not who I am. Knowing that, because you need to understand, are you smarter than who Jesus is? And if are you smarter than Scripture? Are you smarter than what is clear? No, you're not. And the reason he has to say it over and over, because he knows we'll push it away and say, no, that's not who I am. And we just swallow condemnation. We're constantly trying to justify ourselves. No, you're justified. You're forgiven. This is who you are. That's your starting point, right? Understanding what that looks like. you know, that we've actually been raised with Christ. And so, and I would say that is, this is why when he talks about this, he says, you know, whether you're Jew or Greek or circumcised or uncircumcised, you're barbarian, you're slave, you're free, you're, no matter who you are, this is who you are now, right? If you're rich, you're poor, you know, you have a lot of identities, right? We have many different kinds of identities. As I think of myself, I'm white. I'm really good looking. Oh, no, that's not. But some of you are. And are, you know, your identity is in something, right? I'm a male. That's my identity. I'm an American. I'm a father. I'm a husband. I'm a grandfather. I'm a pastor. You know, you might have some initials by your name. I'm a doctor. You know, I'm rich. I'm poor. I'm athletic. All those are parts. Those are our parts of our temporal identity. But we have to understand, how does that stand up to be seated, to be next to Christ, raised in Christ, and in Christ? Every one of those identities become way down the line. Your primary identity is in this place that this is who you are. You're made, you're beloved, and you're right with God. And it starts there, and it's for everyone. It levels the field. And the second thing would be this. Seek and set your minds on the things that are above and not the things that are on this earth. Did I move it? Did I do that myself? There you go. Sorry about that. There you go. And because I say that, because Francis Chan has an illustration. If you're thinking of heavenly things and you understand that and you're setting your mind on the things above, you first off realize, I'm an eternal being. That changes everything. The difference between believing you're an 80-year, if you're lucky, person to live on this earth and eternal being changes the way you see everything on this earth. Francis Chan has this illustration where he takes this long rope, and the rope just goes on as far as you can see. It looks like it's never ending. And then at the very end of the rope, he has this little spot on the rope that's red. And he goes, that's life on this earth that connects to all the rest. It's real important, but it's very short. And it's not our full destiny. And so as he looks at that, you begin understanding, because once you understand that, you look at life different. I want to give you a quote just to wake you up a little bit here, and I want to see who said this. You only go around once in life, so grab for all the gusto you can get. Falstaff, that's right. Famous Falstaff beer said that. It is a great ad for the temporal. You got 80 years, man. It only goes around, this is your only chance, right? It's pretty much the same as, let's eat and drink, and then we die, right? And we have to understand, that's a very different worldview than what we're talking about when we're in Christ. And that changes so much. You know, this is where Jesus always says, man, do not store up stuff that goes away, that's temporal. Keep your mind on the things that keep going in this spot of eternity. You know, the other thing about having a mind that's in a place of where you're thinking on things that are beyond this life, the things that are coming, because that, if you have a wrong view of heaven, like if you think, oh, heaven's boring, you don't understand. Heaven is not boring. Think of the best moments you've had on this earth, the moments of beauty, the most thing. Think of that without sin. You're getting a little taste of what heaven is. It's glorious. And so, this long rope is glorious. It's not boring. It's glorious. But as we think about that, when you think about that future, it affects how you live presently with that hope. You guys ever had that where you have something like you have something really good coming up, and you know it's really coming, and all of a sudden right before that you're feeling really good because you're already thinking about what's coming. And as you really grasp what you're hoping for, what's coming, it causes you to have another level of motivation in doing what you should do here, right? My wife and I, Debbie, we first married, and we had this little tiny house. It was like, I'm telling you, it was like 700 square feet. That's right, 700 square feet. It was still a house, we decided that we didn't have a lot of money, and we said, we're going to take our vacation and paint the house. So that sounds fun. I think it might have been my idea. But anyway, so I got Debbie on board with that one. And then we got to thinking, what if we got this done really fast and we used to have more vacation? And then we started thinking, as soon as we get this done, we're going out and having fun on vacation, right? We painted that house in one day. And Debbie still whines about it. But anyway, she says, I can't all the time run vacation. I can't move my hands. But what we found is, looking for what was coming, we found ourselves having another way of living in that moment. And it was motivating, right? And this is the place, and when you put your minds on the things of heaven, it causes you to say, what's coming and how can I lay up more for what's coming? What's important? What's not temporal? What's eternal? Number three, how do we live in this new identity? Put off the old self and put on the new self. Now, this is where it's interesting, because he's saying, this is who you are. Now put it on or take it off, right? And so he starts out with this whole take things off. And in fact, he says, put to death things of this earth, things that are temporal, the things that are of your flesh, this place of sexual immorality, impurity, evil desires and coveting and idolatry. He says, you once walked in these things. That's how you lived in those things. They ruled over you. And now put them away. Put away wrath and malice. Put to death obscene talk from your mouth and lying. So how do you do that? Let's get honest here. How do you put that away? What does that mean? Well, what it doesn't mean is use your human power and determination and quit doing these destructive things. Sure, you want to do that, but that's not where the power lies in what he's talking about here. That will not work. We talked last week about asceticism, where it's this place we people would believe in this one, this thing is coming against the Colossian church, that you can just abstain from things and deny yourself pleasure, and then you'll gain redemption and salvation. You'll become spiritual, right? You even get to the place that talks about severity of the body. It talked in Colossians 2. And that would be people just like, they would literally beat themselves and cut themselves and inflict pain on themselves for the sake of gaining favor with God, right? Or becoming more spiritual. And what Paul says is they have no value, no power, no value from stopping you from indulging in your old nature. They will not stop you from going back to your old nature. And so what Paul's talking about here, he's saying what you need to do is you need to put off the old, because that's not who you are, and start acting according to who you are. You see statements like, you just got out of darkness. Why would you want to go back there? You used to be ruled by sin under that rule. Why would you go back and put yourself under that bondage again? Because that's no longer who you are, and you don't have to do that anymore. But now what I want you to do is I want you to walk, I want you to live very differently, because I want you to live according to the Spirit, and I want you to live in Christ now. And so it goes on to say, and the word there can be put off. It's like you've been given this new clothes. Get rid of the old clothes. This is what you've been given. Now wear it. Put it on. The new self. And it describes what that is. It starts out by saying, God's chosen and holy and beloved. That's our position. Since you're that, then put on what comes with that position. Compassion and hearts. Kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other, and above all, putting on love above all those things. You know, another way you could put it is, you know, you need to put off who you aren't and yield to who you are. It's this whole place of when Jesus talks about him being the vine and we being the branch. It's not something that we choose. We've been joined to him. And what we do now is we yield to that because that's who we are now. And then life comes through us and to us through that. Now, one thing I'd say that I think applies here is putting off your old nature, you have to have the putting on the new nature. You can't just say, I think I'll put off the old nature and hang around for a while and see how that works. I'm just going to fight not doing bad things. That won't work. Because when we put it off, we're doing it in response to putting on. And that's why when Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit, right, in Galatians, he says this, and this is a great verse in practical. How do you live in the Spirit? I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. How do you not gratify the desires of flesh? Fight it off? Just say no? You do say no to that because it's not who you are, but the way you do it, the only way you have power is you come under a different rule. You submit yourself to the Spirit, and you say yes to that. Number four, let the peace of Christ rule your hearts, right? And he goes on to talk about through teaching and through one another in community, building up one another and having spiritual songs and living in gratitude. But it starts out with this place of let the peace of Christ rule your heart. And so this, I think, is helpful. You need to be familiar what your new nature feels like and contrast it because it says it's in conflict with your old. And it's really good to understand what that new nature feels like. And one of the best characteristics of new nature is peace, true peace. It's this place in which that as you choose it, it may be even hard to say yes sometimes and yield to that, but as you yield to it, you feel settled and aligned because it's who you are, and you feel peace, even if circumstances are crazy, because you're in Christ, and you're living there as your primary identity. But the flesh, their old nature, it always promises, and it's very appealing to relieve your pain, right? It's just, oh man, I got it. But what you'll find is as you yield to it, the opposite takes place. You know, you might feel quick pleasure, but you feel emptied and you feel further from Jesus, right? And so this is really important to understand that when we say yes to our new nature, it always settles us into places of peace. So we can decide how to say yes to that. Now, getting on to the place that I talked about is that then it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you. And it goes on in this place of how does that happen? It happens through teaching. It happens through community, through one another. And it happens through what we're going to be doing in a few minutes here, singing spiritual songs to God in gratitude. And that's why this is important is that when you read the Bible, viewing yourself through the eyes of the flesh, the Bible is exhausting because it just adds on as God's glorious standard is seen, you feel worse and worse because you're viewing your eyes. But if you understand that you're in Christ and you're right before him and you're his beloved and you're right and you're justified, and then you read Scripture saying, it becomes different because now you're saying, this is how I live now. It becomes life to you because it instructs you on how to see it from this place of, from a place that's not just a temporal perspective. It causes you to see what you couldn't see with your natural eyes and you want to take in more of it. And we need that from one another too. As we're trying to live this out, we need other people alongside of us, because God comes through them with their truth as well, through Scripture and through other people. And in that spot, it ends up being a place in which that it dwells within us. We begin understanding the truth. Truth and spirit are always hand in hand. And then as we worship, what are we doing? We're declaring the truth of who we are, who God is, and we're also yielding our heart to His Holy Spirit as we're doing that. So, these are some things that I think will help us real practically. But one last thing, and we'll close after this. You learn to live in your new identity through everyday choices. So this isn't for later. This is for what's happening right now in very small choices and the choices you'll make today. You know, it's like you don't have a child and says, here, I want you to learn, and you throw them in the swimming pool. Good luck. You know, it's like you teach them to take steps and to understand what's taking place and however they develop, right? And what you have to understand is if you want to learn to walk by the Spirit, it comes with this place where you're in this argument with your spouse, and your flesh is just saying, say what, just let her have it, you know, just, you know, let him have it, tell him this thing, and you just want to say all those things of your old nature, and you go, that's not who I am. And you pray, and you yield to who God has made you to be. It's when you're at a spot when COVID is just making you ticked as heck, and you're just this, and I can't stand this, and I can't, and you say, God, how do I respond with my new nature here? I need to ask you, and we yield to that, and when you do, you feel peace. When you're the other, you feel exhilarated, stirred up, and empty, right? And so, as you go through today, as you go through even right now, even if you have to just, during the worship, you have to just sit there and just spend some time with God and saying, what's happening in me? God, help me choose to walk by the Spirit so I won't go to the flesh. Right? Show me what that is. This is who I am. And that's what I want to experience. So, the worship team can come on up. Here's your invitation for this week. Moving yourself towards Jesus. When your old nature is pulling and tempting you, what I've already said, to sin, don't do what it says, right? Think about this. I'd actually just memorize this verse. You know, it's a pretty simple one, right? You know, yield or walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. When you get in those spots, when you feel this tug to say, that's not who you are, and it's your flesh, your old nature is admitting to say, no, I'm going to choose to walk according to who I am. I'm going to choose to live that way. And then moving other people towards Jesus, in your interactions with others, just kind of experiment with this, is choose in a moment to say, how would that look to me to put on compassion, even though I want to just blow this person off and get back to my dinner, you know, or you're just kind of going through the motions and you're thinking, how would I choose to love with compassion? How would I choose to love with the things that God would put in my heart, right? All right, so you want to try it this week? I challenge you today, right now. I want you to start thinking about this. This is where our church will be as we do this. We will look completely different, but we have to learn how to do it. It's something that God wants to teach us. So why don't you stand? So God, I pray that you'll just help us with this as a church. Help us to learn to be Spirit-led and live according to our true identity. Help us to not take in condemnation, not to see ourselves, even one another, according to the flesh anymore. Let us see one another as you see us. And so, God, give us grace, give us the ability as kids to be able to keep our hearts soft towards you and keep saying yes to the things that you're asking us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.